Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Zarin.
Hey, Elizabeth Dutton.
You know what's ridiculous?
Yeah, I do, actually. Do you know if you tried one new Coca-Cola product every day, it would take you 9 years to try them all?
Wait, Coca-Cola, like, are you talking about?
Coca-Cola, the beverage company.
So, but any of the, like,
just
waters
the beverage,
or whatever?
Yeah, they're various. They make more than 3,500 different beverages.
My stars, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
That's just straight up ridiculous.
I kicked Diet Coke not too long ago.
Did you?
Congrats. Yeah, I used to drink a lot of it, and it's been a couple months, and I haven't had any.
What are you on to?
Water.
Oh, that stuff.
I only drink water and iced coffee now. You know, running clean.
Well, you know, yeah.
Okay, let me tell you something else that's ridiculous.
All right, lay it on me.
Chasing 19th century clout and conning the public by pretending to be a princess from an imaginary island.
I like that.
Me too. This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous. So, Zarin, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Shoot. Have you ever told a significant lie about yourself to other people?
Have I ever? In fact, one of my best friends, I made our friendship was made based on a lie.
Really?
Yeah. So what happened was, it was orientation in college. It was like the first day of like orientation, and there's this bus that there's loading students on. Like, we'll take you down to the beach and have like the whole thing. So I'm like, cool, I'll roll onto the beach. You know, I love beaches. So
yeah, you do, moondoggy.
So I get on this bus, moondoggying it up, and I see all these really hot Spanish girls at the back of the bus and a bunch of Spanish dudes. They're all like also hot if you're into Spanish dudes, right? So just a bunch of attractive Spaniards are in the back of this bus. And there's one dude, this Korean dude sitting there in a Chicago Cubs hat talking in Spanish to them. Now, I understand enough Spanish to get around, but not enough to really do my thing. So I went up and told him, "Hey man, are you from Chicago?" He's like, "Yeah." And so I then told him I was from Chicago, and we bonded over that. So that way I could go and talk to all those hot Spanish girls and by hanging out with him. And we went down to the beach and we all partied together and it worked out great. And he and I became the best of friends.
Did he ask you what neighborhood you were from or what
no.
high school you went
oh,
to?
Oh, yeah. I know Chicago well enough that I could like name high schools and stuff.
Because, wait, you could name high schools in Chicago?
Yeah, like New Trier High. Yeah, I knew like plenty. Huh. And Lincoln, yeah, Lincolnwood. Anyway, so.
That's disturbing for
thank
some
you.
Reason.
I just listened to stories. So I had all these details. Anyway, he meets my mother for the first time. What's his first question? "Hey, what part of Chicago do you live in?" And I was like, "Oh, right. I forgot I'd ever tell him." So that's when he found out the truth.
Oh.
My mother said, "We never lived in Chicago." And he looked at me like with darts in his eyes.
Well, how long was this from the bus ride to the reveal?
Probably 10 months.
Wow, that's a long time yep. to keep. That
I didn't
up.
Really, you know, I wasn't committed to it, so I didn't. I forgot.
Did
all
you talk
about it.
Like the Bears?
No,
that's
that would have been the fun part. That if I would do it again, I would definitely be like, yeah.
"Okay, all right."
Lying is fun.
Well, we've all done that. We've all kind of painted ourselves as someone else, right?
Yeah, sure. You especially know. When we're young.
Oh yeah, totally. And we exaggerate. We fabricate. So, like people on their resumes.
Yes.
Why do we do that?
I'm
do
good at Excel. Proficient at Excel.
Proficient. But like, why do we do that? We do that to make ourselves more interesting mm-hmm. or to get further in life with the
or
resume.
To avoid questions.
So we think about people who don't tell the truth or who exaggerate. Mm-hmm. And I think a really good example of that is a lady named Mary Wilcox.
Mary Wilcox. Mm-hmm. Is that with an X?
No. Wilcocks.
Oh.
Stop. I'm gonna stop you right there.
I didn't say a thing.
So Mary was born. She was born in 1791 in England, in a little village in Devonshire, just north of Exeter. Is this making any
no,
sense?
No, but
you?
Is anywhere close to Frogwell?
Oh my gosh, it's like right near Frogwell. Super close to Frogwell. She's really eccentric, prone to depression. She's a rad little kid, right? And but you know
the, good time girl.
The thing is that she's not rich. She's, you know, her dad's a cobbler and her mom spins wool, and she also the mom like weeded cornfields or something or wheat fields. I don't think they had corn.
So like
her.
English peasants, village style, yeah. One makes shoes, one
right. And here she's eccentric and prone to depression, but I think only the rich are allowed to be eccentric.
Yeah, especially in England.
Yeah. Anywhere, then you're kind of, otherwise you're looked down upon, but you get to be weird.
Oh, yeah. No, if you're rich, you're eccentric. If you're poor, you're crazy.
Right. So, but she wants more in life, mm-hmm. you know, like she sees the world in a different way. She has this crazy wanderlust. She just wants to see the world, which really was not open to her at that time.
Yeah, it's difficult if you're stuck in Devonshire in 1791.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when she came into this world. Mm-hmm. But she kind of figures out how she can navigate that world and make it interesting for her. She learns how to read, which was a big deal then for
someone
of her.
Were they not teaching women to read?
And no, and like peasants and, you know, just wasn't, yeah. It wasn't something that was sort of on offer,
I
would
you.
Imagine.
I got you.
She also learned how to swim, and that was a big deal.
Hmm.
You know, they preferred their poor people drowning in those days. And so she gets a gig as a servant.
Okay.
So that makes total sense. You can see that happening. And next door to where she is working, there's this Jewish family. And first she befriends their servant, and then she befriends the whole family. And they teach her how to write, and they teach her all
in
this.
In Hebrew or in English?
In English.
Oh, okay.
But they teach her, also they teach her the Hebrew alphabet.
That's dope.
And they teach her all this really cool stuff, the Jewish diet. And they just sound like this really neat family that is just gets along with everybody.
That's cool.
She gets fired from her gig, though,
because
okay. she's a little bit flaky, you know, she's kind of a daydreamer. And so after she's fired, she gets arrested because she stole a piece of cloth, as you do.
This is going downhill fast.
Yeah. And she's starting to get more and more desperate. She dresses herself like a man and gets a job as a footman.
Oh, like on the back of like a carriage?
Like a servant. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, one night she's in this snowstorm And she's trying to make her way back to where she works, the home where she works. And she's all wet and cold and like shivering. And they take her in and they go to help her change out of her clothes. And they're like, that's not a man.
She's not stopping them. She's so cold.
She's so cold. She's like chattering at her teeth. And she's trying to like, don't take my clothes off. And then they like strip her down thinking it's just going to be some dude. No. So then she gets fired again. And right around that time, she then gets married. But it's...
Wait, what?
Well, I mean, she has limited options.
And then also... Oh, it's not a love marriage. Okay.
Yeah. She gets married. She's only married to the guy for 9 months. And she has a kid. So what that makes me think is that that's why she got married.
Yeah, gotcha.
So she has a kid. She marries a guy whose last name is Baker. And so she becomes Mary Baker.
Mm.
Keep this in mind.
Okay. taking notes.
Taking notes. Okay, good. You're writing it down. She has to give the kid up because she's so broke. And, you know, the guy splits. The kid passes away not long after he's given up. So it's just like a really hard luck story.
Mm-hmm.
She starts just sort of moving around. She makes her way up to Bristol, which is north of where she was from, near Wales. And she gets lodging with this woman named Mrs. Neal.
Okay.
And
do I need to remember that?
Yes.
Okay.
You do.
She gets lodging with a woman named Mrs. Neal.
Now, she's totally desperate to go to America. That's her absolute dream. And in the meantime, she's entertaining Mrs. Neal's kids by making up languages and stuff like that. And one day she's down at the docks. And she sees these French women down by the docks. I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah, that seems weird place for French women.
French women longshoremen.
The Bristol coastline down by the docks. Okay.
Yeah, they're just, you know, hanging out,
yeah,
vibing.
Just getting some chowder.
they were there for the chowder. But Mary notices that they're getting all this attention. Now, I think I know why they're getting the attention.
And I think these are professionals.
But in Mary's view, she's like, oh, they're so exotic. They're so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees all the attention they get. So she dresses up and goes down to the docks and is all, like making up languages and pretending to be French or like speaking with a French accent. And she's asking for money and she's getting it. People are like, oh, you're so beautiful and exotic. Here, here's this, a tuppence. I don't know what they're giving out. And she's like, I'm going to save up this money to make it to the US of A, this new nation that's out there. So here, this is just building it up, right? If you were in her position, like if you wanted to go somewhere and you had absolutely nothing, what would you do?
What do you mean? Like, am I her? Am I a woman in England or am I me in England?
Yeah, you're a woman in England. Yeah, it would be a different story with you in England.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Black man in England in 1791, I have a very different set of options. What am I stealing and how am I? I'm getting to the docks, I'm stealing a boat.
How am I hiding? Yeah. So it's just something to think about. Think about what her options were.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Okay, because I'm going to need to do some math.
Yeah, you're definitely going to. Then we're going to come back and I'm going to let you know how Mary brought the ridiculous.
Nice.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we're back.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, how you doing? I want you to picture this.
Okay.
It's Thursday, April 3rd. 1817.
All right.
A woman staggers into Almondsbury, England, into the town square.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mary, but she's no longer Mary.
Okay.
How does that work? I'm about to tell you.
Okay, thank
you. So she's wearing all black and a turban.
Turban? Like she's learned to tie a turban?
Completely.
Okay.
Yeah, she's learned to tie a turban. It's very sort of Mrs. Howell from Gilligan's Island in my mind.
Okay.
And so she's got this turban on. Her outfit has almost like an Asian styling to it. So she looks way out of place in Almondsbury.
Yes.
And everyone is talking about her amazing eyebrows.
They are on early Fleet.
They're beautifully arched. I'm imagining them as those 90s really thin, like.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're like, maybe she just penciled them on like wicked heavy.
What if she's got like Sade eyebrows? They're like super high.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what it is. That's what she's doing. But she's also got the turban. She's a looker.
Oh, is she? Okay.
Oh, yeah. But she's also tired and hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And she had like a couple coins on her, and one of them is a fake sixpence.
Okay.
Which, just fun fact, at the time, counterfeit money, if you had it, it could be punishable by death.
Wait, just on your person?
Yeah.
Not that you made it or you were known to be using it.
Right.
Just you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Possession is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That
English,
sounds.
English, man. That's,
I know.
Wicked. Okay. We're going.
So she's
now
she's
risking
got
death.
Some coins.
Mm-hmm.
She has some soap.
Soap?
She has a little piece of soap wrapped up in a cloth and like pinned to her outfit.
Is there some purpose for this?
Keep clean.
Oh, I mean, yes. I thought maybe she was like writing on glass.
See, we use soap to...
Sorry, I'm from Hollywood. I don't know about soap.
She was going around soaping people's windows. That's what she knows how to write.
Exactly.
And so she, because she's stumbling in and she's really not saying anything and she's just this like disheveled mess, they take her to the house of the county magistrate, and his name is Samuel Worrell.
Okay.
Don't worry about him.
And the county magistrate's basically the old school sheriff.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I suppose also like the lawyer. He's the law of the land.
Okay.
So he and his wife have this Greek servant who speaks all these languages. And none of the three of them can understand what she's saying. Hmm. She's like, balala shabaladu. And they're like, oh, that doesn't, what can you,
Keep going. Is that Turkish? Going.
So they finally figure out that her name is caribou.
Okay.
But not like the animal. Like C-A-R-A-B-O-O. So it's like the heart, the boo of my heart. So she's like pointing at herself all, caribou, caribou. I'm like, oh, whatever you say, lady. And everyone is trying to decode what she's saying. So, like, travelers come through. They're sending out messages like, send us your language experts. And people show up. They're like, I don't know what she's saying. This is wild.
She becomes like a challenge. Like,
totally. Okay. She's the local puzzle. Finally, this Portuguese sailor comes to town, which, like, you know, I suppose happens.
Yeah, as one does.
And he says, oh, I can figure out what she's saying. It's not a pure language. It's a mix. It's some from the coast of Sumatra and other kind of isles from the east.
Hmm.
And she tells him that she's from an island called Javasu.
Okay.
And that she was abducted by pirates.
Mm-hmm.
And that she jumped overboard and swam to shore.
Okay.
And there she is.
She's in Java.
Javasu,
speaking her weird language. She's abducted by pirates. The pirates then take her somewhere to the Atlantic where she jumps overboard.
I would hope so, unless it's like 5 miles off the coast of Javasu. And she's one of those like long distance swimmers.
Yeah, so basically she's had to cross either around the Cape of Africa, Cape of Good Hope, South Africa. And then you come back up around the top and then she's got to get up like trade winds, cross the equator, and then like get all the way up to England. That's like heck of a journey.
She's had a journey.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And then at the end
of that, she's like, you know what? I'm getting off this boat.
But I've got my soap.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've got my phony coins.
Okay.
So she that's how she said. Now, were she and the Portuguese sailor in on this
together?
That's
what I'm wondering. He's like the shill.
He's like, oh no, I can understand. Like if he's saying she speaks this mix of languages, I don't know. He sounds fishy.
Have you ever seen Ishtar?
Yes.
There's a scene with Dustin Hoffman is doing the fake language and Warren Beatty comes down and he like pretends he understands him.
Right.
That's what I'm
That's
picturing.
Going on. Yeah.
It's very Ishtar.
And I think that she looked like Warren Beatty and he looked exactly like Dustin Hoffman. in the lithograph in my head of this.
Well, Warren Beatty was wearing a turban, so boom.
Wait, is that her life story? He probably was running his own con, the Portuguese. He probably wasn't even a Portuguese sailor.
Yeah.
He's just, you know.
He's from Devonshire.
Yeah, and he's just pretending. So, but the thing is that everyone has this, like, hunger for the exotic, right? They want to have this interesting person that's come into their little village life. And the Worrells, the magistrate and his wife, are skeptical, but they decide, you know what? We're all in. We believe her. This is great. We've got this weird oddity in town. Think, too, that this is like, this is the Georgian era.
What does that mean? I mean, I know what it means, but what does it mean?
Well, I think what's more important is also the Romantic era when you're talking about literature and the arts, the romanticism. So the writers and poets of the day, Wordsworth, Shelley, Blake, Keats, Byron.
The Romantic. Okay.
Huge influence. Yeah. Those are the Romantic poets. And they think that deep feelings are the most real thing, more than reason. And everything is sort of pastoral. And they also, there's like a huge lean on Orientalism.
Oh, right. Yeah.
In the Romantic era. So you have like Samuel Taylor Coleridge's Kubla Khan, super heavy on the Orientalism. And it becomes really, you know, big thing with the public. There's always all these exotic settings. supernatural, exotic, extravagant events, the characters, all this other stuff, right? So keeping that in mind of what's kind of the zeitgeist of the time, Mary slash Caribou starts telling people she was born in China. And I guess she's using her made-up language to convey this. She says she was born in China. She says her dad is named Jesu Mandu.
Oh, totally.
He's a nobleman.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah, super Chinese name.
Yeah, no one ever says, like, my dad was a farmer. It's always,
always, yeah, just like when people are reincarnated, it's always, yeah. And she said her mom was a Malay woman, and her mom was killed in a fight between cannibals.
Between two cannibals were fighting, and all of a sudden she tried to stop it.
It was,
and then lost her life
and
became dinner.
I feel like she had like a pirate adventure, romantic era refrigerator magnet set.
Yeah, she's just throwing
and
up.
She's
the
just
stuff.
Throwing up. She's like, pirates, cannibals, Chinese noblemen. Now, this is this English woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she's passing for Chinese.
Well, I mean, I guess if you don't travel much, you wouldn't know what Chinese look like.
Very
so you're
going to
be like a little bit like, oh, well, this is, must be Chinese.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, she said so. But here's some other stuff, right? So we know she knows how to read, write. She knows the Hebrew alphabet. She knows how to swim. She's also a really good fencer.
Wait, why is she? Where is she getting epee lessons?
I don't know.
Okay.
So she's a fencer.
Mm-hmm.
She can use a bow and arrow.
Natural, of course. Well, I'm not even going to question anything anymore.
Sure. So, I mean, this is the thing, is that you see this woman and she's telling these crazy stories, but at the same time, she's got these mad skills.
These crazy skills. Yeah, I'm with it. So it's like, what, you can believe her. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
she's really into skinny dipping.
Okay. Who isn't? You know, really?
She also prayed to this god that she called Allah Tala.
She just always takes something and goes just to the left of it.
She's riffing,
she's like,
man.
I've heard about Allah. What if it doubled up? Allah Tala.
Yeah, well, and then
Allah Tala.
She's like, I don't really know enough about Islam,
yeah.
So I'll do an Islam adjacent.
Exactly.
Allah Tala.
They stole from our people, but from my people, and they took that name.
She has like this incredible, you know.
She's amazing.
Grouping of cultures that she's compiled, I suppose, through her reading.
Mm-hmm.
But again, how do you know how to fence?
But also, this is like, what, 1815 or whatever, 1820?
Yeah,
I mean, there's very little known. There's very few people who can be like, that's actually not true.
Right. But she would challenge people to sword fights. And like, apparently she could fight with a sword in one hand and a dagger in the other.
Wait, what? She's like fighting pirate style?
Yeah, totally. And
okay.
So
she do we then, know if she actually ever was with pirates?
No, the timing doesn't work.
Yeah.
That she, when she walks basically from Bristol, and then is like, help, help, somebody help. I just washed up on shore.
I mean, she shows up like 70 years past the end of the age of piracy. So it's like,
yeah.
Maybe an old pirate knew her. I don't know.
She's like a leftover. It's like, you know, the guys like in World War II who didn't know the war was over and
like
they're
hanging out in like the caves.
Totally. So like she's on one of those pirate ships that are just like, they're like,
why
isn't there anything good to. We're lost, man.
My parrot died.
They've been drinking their own pee for like a decade. Sorry. So help me, Allah Tala. They keep trying to decode her language because don't forget, she still is acting like she doesn't speak English.
The whole time.
Whole time. And
that's
so
a great commitment to a bit.
Yeah. So she starts, you know what? I'll write down my language. I'm supposing that we've retained the Portuguese sailor this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, let me act as the translator. She says she'll write it down. So she starts writing down her language. They send it off to Oxford to be like, where is this from? Help us. And there's a don at Oxford in a robe. He looks it over and he gives his official verdict.
What is it?
He calls it humbug.
Yeah, nice, Oxford. You know, they have nothing better to do than sit there and go,
Big nope. And this news comes back and people are still like, she's amazing. Isn't she? This
Oxford's so wrong.
Chinese pirate queen. She's so convincing. So she's acting like she doesn't understand English and she's eavesdropping on what people are saying about her. So she can kind of know what they're expecting. And like someone's like, well, if she is really from that region, she's probably not going to drink alcohol. And so she would turn it down. So when they come in and they like try and trick her, like, here, have some brandy. And she's like, in her language, no, no, no. you know, please, no. Allah wouldn't allow it. And so like, oh, well, you know what? She got us. So they're all talking in front of her like, oh, she doesn't understand what we say, but she knows everything. She's also secretly studying these maps of like so that she can point things out.
Oh, okay.
And people would come with documents and she's like reading them upside down because they think she can't read in English. And she's really sneaky. Then she starts making these appearances in London. They're like sending her off to London as this amazing oddity. And she's getting into the papers and
Is she doing gibberish talks?
Like, oh, yeah, completely. So okay. She's like, hala, do do ho, daddy.
And the people just clap.
And they're like, oh my gosh, she's so amazing. And then she like runs around with a dagger and, you
this
know.
Is better than Hamilton.
It really was. And it doesn't take much. And so she's in the papers and she's just like getting more and more fame, which you know she's got to love.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mrs. Neal picks up a newspaper. Remember Mrs. Neal?
Oh, yeah. You told me to remember her.
Yeah. Did you?
I did. Remember
okay.
Mrs. Neal.
Check your notes. So Mrs. Neal reads about her
and
is like, you know what? I'm going to Bristol.
That little bee. I'm going down there.
Yeah. She's just like, she's all, I'm sure that she's like all mesmerized by this story and then sees a picture of her and is like, no, 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 no. That's not caribou. No, 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 no. Load up, everybody. She calls her footman. Load up. And off they go. So the jig looks to be up that caribou has no idea that Mrs. Neal has made.
Oh, yeah. There's no way she can know this. Yeah.
So she's just, you know, doing some light knife fighting in the yard and skinny dipping and doing her thing. And here comes Mrs. Neal. Galloping. But maybe she's on lone horseback. She didn't load up a carriage.
Yeah, just like
she's
cutlass
just like,
in her teeth. Just
she put her pocketbook on and just got on the horse.
Put on her good heels.
Yeah. So I'm going to leave you with that tension of Mrs. Neal racing to Bristol. And think about that. And then we're going to take a short commercial break.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, as I was saying, Mary slash Princess Caribou.
My girl.
Doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's naked in a lake. And misses, so then she dries off and reapplies her arched eyebrows, mm-hmm. ties up her turban.
Tucks away her dagger.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing, too, is that, like, she was following, like, a vegetarian diet, which freaked people out then.
Oh, of course.
You know, because yeah. meat's such like a you know, commodity of like, it's a good thing.
Yeah, you can get how can it. You live without it?
And she really liked curries and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. So that was another thing. We're like, oh, she, yeah. So anyway, so she's just like eating a bowl of curry, some lentils.
She's like, pop down to the kebab shop. I just want to know.
She just got out of the lake. Mrs. Neal walks into the house.
Oh.
And let's pretend she just kicked the door in. Yeah. And she says, ah. Mary, why are you here?
Wait a minute. She has all this time and that's her entry line? I mean, you got to
come on,
Miss Neal.
I thought that was stone cold.
Really?
You don't wanna, you
Mary,
don't...
why are you here?
Ah, Mary, why are you here? That's how I read it.
Okay.
And she has an American accent. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. It just seems like I would be like thinking about that line the whole way
oh,
down
yeah,
there.
Oh, yeah, she was. And she just honed it.
Mm-hmm.
Her eyes narrowed when she said it.
Down to thin slits.
Ah, Mary.
Judgmental.
Why are you here? There's so many ways that you can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Why are you here? Why are you here? You can do that whole
Why
exercise.
Why are you here? Why are any of us here, Mary?
Mary.
Ah, the French.
Ah, the French. Mary comes clean because stone cold Mrs. Neal came in, squinted at her, said, sounding exactly like Clint Eastwood, why are you here? And Mary's like, okay, fine. She starts speaking English. Everyone's just agog. Like their eyes went out of their faces on springs. They're just like, what? And people are running around, little kids' hair caught on
people
fire.
People jumping out of windows.
Yeah.
Strangers running into each other.
You were like,
catching
yeah,
fire.
It was chaos, pandemonium.
Cats and dogs living together.
Everything comes crashing down for Mary Caribou.
And the poor townspeople, their worlds.
Or does it?
Oh!
Dun, dun, dun. So now everybody knows that Princess Caribou is a fraud.
Okay.
And everything is exposed. Mrs. Neal's like, oh, no, she's not a princess. Her dad's a cobbler. Oh, no, her mom picks... you know, weeds out of a wheat field. She was once arrested for stealing a piece of cloth.
Miss Neal, petty as...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, everything's exposed. And what do you think happened? What do you think happened to Mary at that point?
The charming Portuguese gentleman returns to the story, whisks her away, puts her on her fishing vessel, and they go down to the coast of the Iberian Peninsula and live happily ever after, eating much better food.
That with, you know what, Mary would have really liked that.
Oh, okay. I'm an optimist.
Yeah, but see, it's not as bad as you think it'll be.
Okay, good.
Instead of having this blame and calling her a fraud, everyone feels really bad for her. They pity her. They're like, oh man.
Did not see that coming.
Her life was so terrible. She had to make all this stuff up. This poor little, you know, sprite, Princess Caribou. And the press, the precursor to the Daily Mail, they're like, this is awesome. This is amazing. And they find it super amusing and entertaining. Mm-hmm. So they're writing all these pieces about how she pulled one over on all the rich people and she's so talented, because, I mean, let's face it, she does have all these crazy skills. Mm-hmm. But they love that so many people fell for it. It was just like they looked at the people who fell for it as the idiots.
Yeah.
And she was a smart one who got one over on everybody.
So it's kind of a comeuppance for the rich that everybody enjoys.
Yeah. And the press is like, you know what? You guys were all asking for this to happen because you're so caught up in how magical and exotic things are and you want the latest weird stuff in your life. Well, this is what happens.
Yeah.
So she's unscathed, right? So she has, you know, all of her benefactors in England that have been parading her around and, you know, treating her to all this stuff. They decide that they are going to help her reach her lifelong dream. Do you remember what her lifelong dream was?
Yes, I do. Ooh, I got this one.
Yes, Zarin.
Okay, long-time listener, first-time caller. She wanted to go to America.
Correct.
America.
Yes. She wrote the song that Neil Diamond would later record.
We're coming to America.
Exactly, the very same. Think about it, though. It's like...
Today!
We've just gone through the war. Just gone through the War of 1812.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, fighting the British.
Yeah. And she's like, get me out of here.
Like, I'm going to go there. They'll love me there.
So they put her on a ship to America with three chaperones.
Three chaperones?
Yeah.
Like, are they more like minders or
they're
chaperones?
They're three religious ladies.
Oh.
I guess they're just there to make sure she doesn't wild out in America.
Huh.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
So I've never been chaperoned. I don't know how it goes.
Well, or by three religious ladies, no less.
Well, you don't know about that.
So this is in June of 1817.
Okay.
Now, remember, when did this first all go down? You said you were taking notes.
Yes, yes. She was born in 1791. 1815, I think, is when she was going.
No? Mm-mm.
What?
April of 1817.
17. Darn.
So they put her on
couldn't read my own writing.
They put her on a boat to America in June of 1817.
So this all takes place in a couple of months.
She only got away with it for 2 months. But it was the best 2 months. So... She gets to America and she goes to Philadelphia.
Ah, city of brotherly love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she's all, Caribou takes Philly. She was not much of a success there.
Philly's a tough city. Tough town.
Tough,
I mean, they throw batteries at people.
Is that where they have, where's Gritty?
Yeah, that's he's the mascot for the Philly Flyers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So maybe she tried to perform in an early Gritty costume and... It just all went.
I think Philly has just always been a really tough town.
It's a pretty amazing town.
Oh, it's great. I love it. But it's I'm saying it's a town. Everything that New York thinks about themselves, Philly is.
Yeah. They are actually walking the walk in Philly.
And their pizza's better.
And Jill Scott's from Philly. Jilly from Philly.
Yeah. There you go.
So here's Princess Caribou taking the stage. She's not really a financial success. She's just this weird oddity that people are like, why did I pay to see this woman? Like shadow box, you know, a pirate. I don't know. It's strange. So that kind of peters out. Then she decides to go to New York. New York City.
Get a rope.
So she writes letters to the folks back home. She's complaining about the horrors of celebrity.
Wait, the horrors of celebrity. Okay.
So it's like, we know that she does not have a really strong relationship with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes over there and no one's really, you know, lauding her. And she's this kind of sideshow act. But I love that she's writing home like, oh, my God, I am dogged by my fans. My fan base is just really strong. And
I've been picturing her as Angelina Jolie this whole time, and I think it works.
Yeah, okay. You
know, just like the personality, the way she's like, I'm an eccentric, and like, I don't belong here, so I'm going to speak a made-up language. And then she goes to New York and goes, I hate the celebrity.
Yeah, I wish they would leave me alone. They're like, who?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the people who talk about their haters.
Mm-hmm.
And no one even knows who they are.
Yeah.
I love when people do that.
I love that for you.
You know, thank you. I'm like, I don't want to listen to the haters. You're like, people have no idea who you are or what you're doing. So that's
you
kind of...
You don't even have dislikers.
Yeah, Caribou was... She was on that vibe back then. So she wears out her welcome in New York because no one cares. She goes back to England. No one cares.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, especially for someone like her. But she decides to, you know, just... live her life. So she is reformed. She's no longer Princess Caribou. She's back to being Mary.
And she's still Mary Baker?
Mary Baker, okay. Yeah. And she marries a really nice guy, has a baby girl. Hmm. Baby, you know, grows up, thrives. She spends the rest of her life doing a job.
Okay.
And take a guess. If you're a former Javasu princess,
uh-huh,
who knows how to fight pirates, mm-hmm, in swordplay.
And I'm good and close with a knife.
Mm-hmm. For close-up work.
Yeah, I would say my next job is probably going to be giving guided tours of the mermaids off the coast.
That's close. That's close. She sells leeches for the rest of her life.
To like surgeons? Or just I need something to bleed
to
this boy.
To the infirmary, yeah. But you know what the thing is? In my mind, my imagined detail is that she gathers the leeches by skinny dipping in stagnant water. And then she gets out and is like, peel them from my body. Come on, dude.
No, I'm not going to come on with that. You just made me picture someone skinny dipping and then a bunch of like leeches were attaching themselves to her body. Like, no.
Yeah, well, anyway.
What is this, Japanese anime?
She went from being like the local novelty to making her way to America and making it into the papers and such.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back, lives this life of anonymous leech mongering. And she got buried in an unmarked grave, so we can't even go lay some leeches on her headstone. But that's the story of Princess Caribou.
It's a heck of a story.
There's an interesting, in September of 1817, so she'd already hoofed it back to England by then.
Mm-hmm.
There's a newspaper in New Bern, North Carolina, that ran this little piece. I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
It's such a typical sentence structure of that time. It meanders. It takes its time to hear.
Oh, okay. Are you going to read it in like an accent?
No.
Come on.
It's from North Carolina. I could do that, but I'm not going to. So the bubble witch during the last 5 or 6 weeks has formed a rich theme for the ridicule of every person who deserves credit for an ordinary share of common sense has at length burst. Miss Caribou, who talked heathen Greek, swam like a fish, dived like a duck, worshipped the sun, flourished a dagger, and ate curry. And they italicized curry in the paper. Proves to be neither more nor less than plain Mary Baker, the erratic child of honest parents in the humble village of Witheridge in the county of Devon.
Hmm.
So I thought that sums it up really nicely. Like here, you know, all these people who should have common sense and be like, this, her story is totally illogical. They got caught up in it. She has all these skills, but she's just plain old Mary Baker.
The curry eating, sun worshiping, dagger flourishing, duck diving,
duck
fish
diving,
swimming, heathen Greek speaking, queen.
Mary. So she had a good 6 week run, and I really hope it gave her a lifetime of good memories.
Oh, yeah. You know? I respect her charlatan game.
What's your ridiculous takeaway here?
Don't go swimming to attract leeches.
Only if you have to dive off a pirate ship.
Yeah, exactly. And if you get offered a chance on a pirate ship, don't jump off.
Don't jump off. Just stay on.
Yeah.
She could have had, well, she didn't actually.
What's your ridiculous takeaway?
You know, Joan Didion said, we tell ourselves stories in order to live.
Oh, it's one of my favorite quotes ever.
Same. And so we want life to be, you know, interesting, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we know that they're just stories that we tell ourselves. But believing those lies makes us feel better.
See, it's like I said, lying is good.
No harm, no foul on that one.
Tell me beautiful lies. tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Sorry.
That's beautiful. Keep going.
No.
Not.
We both want me to stop.
You can find us online at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter and Instagram. If you have a tip about a ridiculous crime that you'd love to hear us yammer about, or if you want to tell us about a ridiculous crime that you've committed, please email us at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. So we will see you next time, and take care of yourselves, liars.
And be good to each other and lie pretty to each other.
Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett, produced and edited by Crown Prince Dave Kustin. Research is by Countess Marissa Brown. The theme song is by Sir Thomas Lee and Travis Dutton, 4th Duke of Flavortown. Executive producers are Captain Ben Bolin and Admiral Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get 3 wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.